Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I take you through the science of flexing. Yes, there is science in flexing. And by the end of the episode here, hopefully you can break down some of the stigma behind flexing and see how flexing not only improves our psychological health, but also improves our physical health. And within that physical health, not just our performance in the gym, but also our health, such as our cardiovascular health. So sit back, give me a little flex, and enjoy this podcast. What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. Today, I'll be flying solo, and we're going to be talking all about flexing. And hopefully, by the end of this, you will be spending a little bit more time flexing. Now, when we think of flexing, we kind of think of this bodybuilder-like image or maybe an Instagram post or something that's very vain and grounded in something that is a little bit taboo of, oh, I shouldn't flex, I look weird when I flex, or people might think of me a certain way if I'm flexing. And we're going to cover a few different areas where flexing can be beneficial. So that is within our performance, within our strength, within our health, and then within our psychology as well. So sit back and relax and let's talk all about flexing. So let's start by really defining what is a flex. And a flex is really an isometric contraction of a muscle. Now, what does that mean? Well, when we move a muscle or we move a joint, I'd say, let's say your elbow, when you bend your elbow, we can call that a concentric movement because the bicep muscle is shortening. And then when we straighten our elbow, we can call that an eccentric movement. So the bicep is lengthening. Now, when we bend our elbow and hold our elbow in that position, we call that an isometric movement. So the muscle is not contracting, it's not relaxing, it's staying in one place, but then it's also holding load. And isometric movements are really common and normal in our body. Imagine you right now, you might be sitting or standing up, your different muscles in your body are completing isometric contractions to keep you upright, to keep your posture upright. So essentially think about if you were to push an immovable object, so I don't know, you're pushing against a brick wall, you are completing isometric contractions in different parts of your body. Let's say your hamstring, your glutes, your arms, your shoulders, because you're trying to push this immovable object. So we are mainly going to be talking about isometric contractions, and that is going to be the semantics of a flex. Now, where does this podcast originate from? Well, within our challenge, the Max and the Maxine challenge, we for a long time have completed Flex Friday. So Flex Friday, we encourage all of our challengers to post a photo of themselves flexing. And we have a large amount of people posting now. And I think it started as maybe a little bit of a vain thing. People wanted to post photos of themselves flexing, usually the bicep muscle, but now it's moved into other areas. We get calves, we get quads, we get triceps, we get back muscles, everything in between, which is really cool to see. And I think for myself as a coach, I see the psychological side of flexing. And there are many challengers who are unconditioned and out of shape. And sometimes Flex Friday can be the only time that they feel good about themselves, where they can post a photo of their achievements in their body to a community that are accepting. And sometimes we can see changes in our body, such as growth in our bicep. And we go to show maybe our friends or our family, and frankly, there's not as much enthusiasm about the growth that we've seen in our body. So I am a big supporter of Flex Friday, mainly from the psychological aspect of feeling good in your body as a place to post a photo where other people can support you and, you know, acknowledge the hard work that goes into using your body. Now, when we really look at flexing, and you might have seen movies such as Pumping Iron, where Arnold talks about flexing, it really is a skill. And in bodybuilding, manipulating different angles and different lines to create certain shapes. And if you see the difference between a pro bodybuilder or someone who's been training for a while flexing their bicep versus someone who I'd call maybe an amateur flexing their bicep, there's a big difference in the application of that flex. And this leads to the first point where we see benefits in flexing is we get a better understanding of our body and especially when it comes to our anatomy. So if we look at, let's say, the bicep muscle, most of us think it just bends the elbow. If you take it to the next level, we know that the bicep also completes a movement called supination in the wrist. So when you turn your palm upright, so it's facing the sky. And then your bicep also completes an element of what we call shoulder flexion. So when you bring your arm out in front of you. So if you are able to apply those three movements to your bicep, you are able to get a complete bicep contraction. So where that might be lost is some people may simply flex their elbow without any thought of supinating their wrist or flexing their shoulder as well. We can then take it to the next level where we start to look at different kinetic lines or fascial lines through the body. So then we can start getting contractions in the hand and the wrist to help get a bigger contraction in the bicep. And then also movements in our shoulders to get bigger contractions in our bicep. So if you spend more time flexing, you will begin to get a better understanding of how the body can work on a individual level, as in the bicep muscle specifically, and then also on an integrated level, the bicep working with the forearm, with the different hand muscles, all the way into the different shoulder muscles, different pec muscles, and how they work together. So that's the first thing I'm going to say is spend more time flexing so you get a better understanding of your body. This then leads into point number two, where we get better motor control in our muscle. So if you were able to have a better control in different muscle groups, so you are able to tell the difference between your hamstring contracting and then your glute contracting, when you go to exercise, you are able to feel the difference of if you are more hamstring dominant or more hip dominant. Maybe in a bench press, you find that your shoulders are really sore while you're bench pressing. If you are able to independently contract your pec muscle separate to your shoulder muscle, you will be able to feel when you're completing a bench press if you are loading your shoulder muscle, your deltoids, or if you're loading up your chest muscle through your pecs. So point number two here will be all about motor control. And if you spend more time trying to individually contract or individually flex every single muscle in your body, you will get a better physical intelligence. So I call that physical intelligence, you know, motor control about how you can move your body better. Now, before we dive into all the performance benefits, let's talk about health benefits. And there is a growing body of scientific evidence that suggests that isometric training improves our blood pressure. So isometric training it's suggested that it decreases our blood pressure, and this is more dominant in males than in females and more relevant in those over 45. So if you have any sort of cardiovascular condition or if you have a family history of cardiovascular condition, it may be a good idea to spend a little bit of time flexing because there is a bit of research that suggests that it can improve your blood pressure, which is, I think, is really cool and something that I've just only learned recently. Isometric training can also help modulate pain. So when we are contracting a muscle, we are really activating a nerve. So talking about a bit of muscle physiology, muscles contract because a nerve has, you know, told it to contract. And what happens when we contract a muscle group is that it changes the descending or the nerve to the muscle, which then changes the ascending pathway of the nerve or the nerve away from the muscle. So if you have any sort of muscle injury or joint injury, if you can contract a muscle isometrically or flex a muscle around that joint, it can help to change the ascending pathway of the pain. So your brain actually has a different experience to what's happening in the tissues around the site of an injury. So you can use flexing to improve your experiences with pain. And in a rehabilitation setting, physios and everyone in between will utilize or prescribe isometric training to help to negate or improve experiences with tendinopathies. So if you have an Achilles tendinopathy or a patella tendinopathy, so a tendinopathy is when the tendon, which connects the muscle to a bone, when the tendon becomes inflamed. So a tendinopathy responds well to something like an isometric hold. So some physical therapists will prescribe an isometric hold. So we can utilize flexing and isometric training to improve health outcomes, such as our cardiovascular health, and then also to decrease pain or experiences of pain, and to also improve certain conditions such as tendinopathies. Now, when we go into performance side of flexing, there is a little bit of research that suggests that flexing frequently can stimulate hypertrophy responses in muscles. Now, these studies are mostly on beginners, so people who are non-trained, and they're mostly males, and the effect size is quite small. So if we deep dive into the science around it, it's really but we can see hypertrophy responses in those that flex more often. And some of them is up to 10% additional growth from flexing more often. So if you just simply want more gains, you can flex yourself to get more gains. You can flex to build bigger muscles, which I think is really cool. But probably the biggest impact that flexing will have on your body is the neural adaptations that come along with flexing. So I want you to think of a car. So think of a car when you're driving, you have your foot on the pedal and you push your foot on the pedal and you hear the engine roar. You hear the engine roar, rah, yeah. So what happens when you contract a muscle is essentially you're putting your foot on the pedal and the muscle is the engine, and we're trying to make the engine rev, or we're trying to make the muscle contract. And through training, we can get a bigger rev of our engine through less of a effort on the pedal. So what does that mean? Well, our muscle, let's say it has 100 units of potential force. At the beginning, you may only be able to activate 50 of those units. So when we spend more time training, that's both concentric, eccentric, and then more so in isometric training, we get a better ability to contract more and more muscle fibers. So over the course of many years, you may be able to start contracting 50 units of muscle and then 60, 70, 80 units of muscle. And that's where we get people like Olympians who are 60, 70 kilos, they're Olympic weightlifters, and they're able to clean and jerk 200 kilos over their head because they have much more control of all of their motor units or all their muscular units so that they can produce more and more force. So if you are new to exercising and new to lifting, the biggest gains that you will receive in the first couple of weeks of training will be those neurological adaptations, the nervous system activating, which means that you can actually start utilizing more and more of your muscle fibers. And what that does is with the nerves going from your brain to your muscle, you start creating what we call myelin. So myelin sheath around the nerve. So the actual nerve travels faster from your brain to your muscle, and then it has a stronger impulse, so then more muscle fibers can contract. What does that do? It makes us stronger, so it improves our strength. So flexing, we're starting to see that flexing will make our motor control improve, it will make our muscle size improve, and then our muscular strength improve. So we're starting to see it improving a few different facets. And then finally, when there is more nervous system activation or more nervous system activity around a muscle, we see improvements in our resting tone in a muscle. So what does that mean? If you are looking to improve your tone in your body, you will need to start flexing or have more control or more nervous system engagement in our muscle so that at rest, the muscle will simply look harder than it is softer, which is, I think, what most of us is looking for. So we want to be able to contract that muscle so that the tone can increase in the muscle. Lots of things here. And finally, the more control you have over contracting a muscle, the better control you'll have of relaxing the muscle. So if you identify yourself as someone who has lots of muscular tightness, there's a chance that you do not have enough muscular control. So if you have lots of tightness in your hips, let's say your hip flexors, and you're constantly trying to stretch the hip flexors, maybe you don't have enough muscular control to be able to contract the hip flexors so that you are then able to relax the hip flexors. So if you find that you have lots of tightness in your traps, so your upper neck, my challenge to you is to try to contract your traps, hold an isometric hold, flex your traps, and then see if you could then try to relax your traps. So what we're doing is we're really overloading the muscle through the nervous system so that we can actually relax the muscle. So guys, it sounds like flexing can help us in lots of different avenues, from our psychological well-being to our cardiovascular health to our performance and our physical health. Now, the question comes in is, how long do we hold an isometric contraction for? Great question. So I think if you are able to start by holding an isometric contraction for about 5 to 10 seconds, so if you can flex for 5 to 10 seconds, that's a win. My next challenge to you is to try to flex and make the muscle cramp. So let's say a bicep flex, try a way or experiment with different ways that you can manipulate different parts of your body. So back to your wrist or your hand or your shoulder or your torso, try to find how you can make your bicep cramp. And if you are able to make a muscle cramp, that means that you are maximizing your nervous system input into that muscle. So the muscle eventually overloads, kind of spasms out a bit, and then that's when we feel that cramping sensation. One of a few different ways that we do cramp, but one is because we are pumping too much nervous system into that muscle. So my challenge to you, one, try to hold a flex for 5 to 10 seconds. Try it now. Two, try to make the muscle cramp. And then three, once you are able to make that muscle cramp, then we start to look at more endurance capacities, where there is a little bit of research that suggests isometrics of about 30 seconds to 40 seconds can see some benefits as well. And final study I'll quote is by the glute guy, Brett Kondragis. And what he did was he had trained individuals. He had one group perform glute isometrics. So they were seated and they were simply trying to squeeze their buttocks, so the muscle in their hips. They were trying to squeeze their glutes. And then the other group was doing traditional hip raises. So lying on their back, knees bent, just lifting their hips up into the air. And what he found over, I think it was a 6-week study, if I recall correctly, that there was no significant difference between groups. So what that then suggests is that if you or someone has suggested that you have, quote, weak glutes or, quote, inactive glutes, and you are trying to activate your glutes, you may benefit just as much from simply squeezing your glutes or flexing your glutes as you do from exercising those glutes. So basically, guys, we can see changes in our body from lots of different aspects from flexing more often. So in the defense of flexing, spend more time flexing and you are going to see improvements in your body. So the next time someone says that you're vain for flexing or you feel embarrassed from flexing, spend more time flexing. If you are interested in bodybuilding, I would suggest that you do spend more time trying to flex and pose and film yourself posing to try to see different ways that you can manipulate lines and shapes and angles to improve your bodybuilding position. So let's wrap it up there, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Challenge Podcast. If you have any questions, please reach out to us. And from here, enjoy your flex.